Hello and welcome to today's podcast. You're listening to the Abundant Wealth Builders podcast with Jackie Bourne, the podcast that talks about abundance, wealth, and money matters from both a pragmatic and energetic point of view. You'll also get to meet my guests who are on their own entrepreneurial journey to wealth and abundance in their lives. In this episode, I'll be speaking to Mark Deeks, that piano guy who teaches people of all ages to play the piano online. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. So welcome, Mark, to today's podcast. It's always awesome to be able to welcome a new guest. We have spoken previously before, but to actually formally invite you into the space, it's really an honor to have you here. Would you like to take a little bit of time to introduce yourself to the audience and tell them a little bit about, you know, who you are and what led you to, you know, being the piano guy?
Well, I'm that piano guy, not the piano guy. It's a complete branding fail, Jackie. There are so many variations that people say to me. Are you the piano man? No. Are you the piano guy? No, I'm that piano guy. It's entirely my own fault for making it so complicated. But I'm Mark Deeks, otherwise known as that piano guy. And I think, you know, I've played piano all my life. I was 5 years old when I first started playing the piano. And so it was always going to be a pretty important part of who I became and my story. And I think, like a lot of musicians, certainly when you're young, you know, perhaps you get encouraged to do like exams or some kind of qualifications. And I was lucky. I picked it up really, really quickly. And I kind of got my grades on piano before I was old enough to argue about it. So I was 12 when I got my grade 8. So
most
teenagers are refusing to do their practice because they've just discovered football or rock music or the opposite sex, and I was 12 and done. So it was kind of it came really naturally to me. And there are all kinds of things in life that I'm rubbish at, but piano playing was something that was clearly meant to be. And most musicians, I guess, do one of two things when they try to figure out what they're going to do for a living. They either try and become a famous musician or they become a teacher. And most musicians will try and become a famous musician first, figure out it's quite hard and to make any kind of money about it, and then fall into some form of teaching, be that instrumental teaching or classroom teaching. And I kind of did that in reverse. So I was teaching piano by the time I was 15. And then sort of more formally after leaving university, I was teaching in a peripatetic music service and teaching in classrooms of all kinds of ages and sizes. And it wasn't until later on that I became a famous rock star. No, but I joined a band later on. And so now I have that kind of side of my career alongside my teaching. But, you know, my business is, I'm an online piano coach and I help people all over the world to play piano. Usually adults, well, in fact, all entirely adults, because I enjoy teaching adults more than children, but usually older adults. So sometimes people in their 80s, because that's where the fun happens. Because when you have someone who's, let's call it, in the second half of their life, they've spent decades thinking this isn't going to be possible. They've ruled it out. This wasn't going to happen for me. I should have done it when I was a child. It's over. Yeah. And then when you fix that, there's a real joy in it, because that's not something that they want to do to be a professional. They want to do it just for fun.
Yeah.
And and when you approach something for fun and for joy, and it's something that you thought would never be possible for you, and you do it in your 60s, 70s, 80s or whatever, then that's really special.
Especially when you think that your fingers aren't as nimble as what they used to be, and you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks and all these kinds of things that go around in your head. Yeah, you know, that's just amazing.
It's a framing thing, you know, how we frame things. Part of the reason that we think that, or people think that they can't do it, is because they're measuring themselves against a professional. I'll never be able to do that. Well, no, perhaps you won't. But that's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to have fun for 15 minutes to chill out after you've had a cup of coffee in the morning, or relax for 15 minutes after you've had a busy day at work, or you put the kids to bed and I've got 15 minutes just for you. And there is joy in very rudimentary playing, because you didn't think you'd be able to do it at all. And it's the relaxing quality of that and the sort of mental health benefits of it and the well-being benefits of it and the confidence benefits of just doing something fun and new for you is really, really rewarding. So I've been doing that for quite a while, you know, pre-pandemic, thankfully, because that meant I was already all set up with all the, like, the gear and stuff before lots of other music teachers were suddenly thinking, what am I going to do? So, yeah, that's what I do. And then the other part of my business is I run a choir company called Sing United. We've got 150 singers in Newcastle. We've done that for a few years. Well, I've been teaching choirs since I was about 20. And Sing United's been my company for about 3 or 4 years. And unlike many other choirs that just shut down during the pandemic, we just piled on and did it all virtually. So we've never been busier, really.
It must have been interesting. How did you do that? Be able to,
I mean, you make compromises and you come up with creative solutions. I mean, is it the same? No. Is it perfect? No. But has it kept 150 people sane during 18 months of a pandemic? Absolutely. Got loads of stories of people saying, you know, I wasn't seeing my friends, and the fact that I could come on screen and sing my heart out in my house for an hour, you know, kept them going, you know, really, really positive outlook, an outlet. So, yeah, they are like the two things I do. And then my career in a band and being a rock star is just me for fun. I don't have to worry about making money out of it.
Yeah, well, that's where you get your enjoyment and your enrichment from, exactly. So that you can you know, pay it forward into your students. And, that's amazing. So then do you go and play open mics, or how do you go and, you know, play with your band?
So the band that I'm in, Winterfilleth, they existed for a number of years before I joined. I joined about 8 years ago, and I'm really, like, we laughingly call me the George Martin of Winterfilleth. So I'm like the fifth member that not even our fans all know about. I mean, I'm on all the album covers and stuff, but people don't pay attention to these things. It's weird. And the reason that they form the opinion that there's only four members of Winterfilleth is because when the band tour, I don't go. And they don't really need me. I help write the material, and I perform bits and pieces on the album, but they can do it with the four of them. So lots of all the live footage, you see four people. And so lots of fans don't realize that as a fifth member. But if they looked at the album liners and all the credits, they'd realize there's five of us. So, yeah, I'm like the sneaky extra member. So we did an acoustic album a couple of years ago, which I was much more heavily involved in, that I did the tour for. But, yeah, the normal stuff that we do, which it's a metal band, they don't need me for. So
maybe you'll surprise the fans one day and arrive on stage, and then they wonder where the member came from.
Yeah. Who's that guy? It's great. I can stand at Winterfilleth gigs, and no one knows who I am. Well, some people do, but not everyone. It's funny.
Yeah. So you don't have the fans just crowding around you waiting for autographs, do you?
Like a small number. Like the hardcore fans.
Oh, well, there you go. You've got to have some fans, otherwise you're not a rock star. So tell me now, with you said over lockdown and that sort of thing, the mental well-being and that sort of thing of your choir members, that was enriched, and that was have you seen an increase of people wanting to learn music and find that sort of creative outlet over that period of time as well?
Yeah, I think in the first month of the pandemic, my online piano coaching was nearly 400% what it was before. The number of people involved, it more than tripled. Mm-hmm. There was a huge increase of people who were suddenly thinking, right, oh, this is quite serious. Perhaps I should do something that's fun. Or perhaps, what is the thing that I've always wanted to do that I've always said I've never had time for, and suddenly I'm not spending 2 hours a day in the car. So there was a lot of reevaluation going on. And so very, very quickly, a lot of people were turning to music related hobbies and, proving what I've always said, which is that, a little music regular in your life is just good for the soul, and it is good for the mental health and good for the well-being, and can improve confidence and, reduce anxiety and so on. So yeah, there was a huge amount of that. As things have started to transition, we're not back to normal, are we? But we're in this kind of halfway house. Some people have decided that they gave it a go and they've had fun, and now they're just going to go back to whatever they're doing before. So there's been a bit of a dip again, but there's still a lot of people who took it up who've now realized, this is fun. This is something that, as I said before, it's not something that people have any intentions of being amazing at, because it's not their career. You know, it's not, they don't need to be amazing at it to get reward out of it. And, you know, people on day one are reporting benefits because they just feel the positive distraction. You know, I've got clients who, there was a client who said she slept better within the first week of playing piano for 15 minutes a day.
Makes sense,
Now, when you sleep better, what happens as a result of that? Well, you're more present with your family, or you're more focused at work, or you just feel better.
Yeah, so it's the
ripple effect of what happens as a result of it. I have a client who had an eating disorder that stopped when she started playing piano.
Because she had something else to do. She wasn't wanting to binge.
Positive distraction. Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. So it was now a situation where she now thinks of it as magic. Because this is her, for want of a better word, cure. You know, it's not a cure, of course. You know, she has to be mindful of it. But she knows that now she has this tool in her toolbox to help her cope with the situation. So stories like this happen. You know, people using it as a positive distraction to reduce stress and so on. And during the pandemic, there's been a huge increase in that.
Gosh, I remember as a child, I always used to go and sit in front of the piano and play. You know, if I'd just been told off or something had happened, then I'd go and sit and, you know, obviously the music then would be a bit more bangy than what they would be, you know, getting your frustrations out. But, you know, I think it definitely is a way of releasing, you know, whatever's going on, you know, whether it's a bit sad, then you probably end up playing sadder music and, you know, more sort of energized if you're feeling a bit happier. I think it's definitely.
Yeah, it doesn't even necessarily need to be as connected as that. It's just the act. It's the act itself that has the benefit, because people, you know, I can think of other things whilst I'm playing because I've been playing all my life. You know, I'm thinking about football or watching stuff on the telly or whatever. I mean, I can have a conversation whilst I'm playing piano. But when you're a beginner, you're not able to do that. You have to concentrate, otherwise nothing happens. And so what you find is that the act itself of needing to figure out which note to press or which finger to use and so on at the very, very beginning of the process means that it's impossible to think about the stresses at work or the stresses in your family or the stresses with someone's health or whatever it is, because you can't think about two things at once. It's impossible when you're just learning how to do something. So the fact that 15 minutes later, someone suddenly goes, "Hey, well, I've never thought about work for the last 15 minutes," in itself is where the benefit is happening without needing to be any good at it, which is really great news for beginners, right?
Well, that's it, yeah. Because, I mean, when you're learning anything new, it is uncomfortable, you know. It's, you know, like anything, you know, it's sure. Especially as an adult, it doesn't come as easy as it does when you're younger. But it is rewarding to be able to, you know, try something. And people come to visit now that they can. You can say, "Oh, come listen to my new song that I've just learned to play." And exactly. They're probably thinking, "Oh, gosh, I'm not going to go to her again, because all she wants to do is play her piano when I come and visit."
Well, the stories of sort of like grandparents playing their grandchildren, you know, tunes on Zoom, you know, well, that's great. You know, what a lovely way to be able to be in contact.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not always the other way around. Hey, grandma and granddad have to listen to the recorder being played. Sure. So from your own personal point of view, I mean, has music helped you through any kind of situations that, you know, you think maybe had you not had music, things might have been a bit more difficult to get through?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the biggest one for myself and my wife, we, the week before the first UK lockdown happened, we lost a baby. My wife was 22 weeks pregnant. Sure. And we had what's called a termination for medical reasons, which is this really awful situation where the baby is essentially told it has no chance. But unlike when someone is an adult and is told they're terminally ill and they can choose whether to they're basically told to accept it by the medical profession. When it's a termination for medical reasons, the parents are asked to agree with it, essentially, legally. It's a most peculiar situation.
Sure.
You know, when a miscarriage happens, it's an equally traumatic end result, but it's perceived.
But you haven't had to choose. Yeah.
Exactly. It's perceived as something that's happened to the couple. Mm-hmm. With a termination for medical reasons, you're being asked to say, "Is this okay?" Which, of course, it isn't. But you're asked to sort of sign a piece of paper and say that is so. And that's a really uncomfortable, guilt-ridden journey to go down. So that happened to us the week before the first lockdown. So we then had that to try and cope with it on our own, clearly. And that's been a really, really tough journey. But when I was, I'd promised myself I would, I'd write a particular kind of album. I had a kind of project that I'd wanted to do for some time. And like anyone else, whilst I was working really hard to keep the wheels spinning and keep the bills getting paid and so on, in some ways I had more time sat at home than I would normally. And my wife was like, well, you're going to have to write it now. I mean, if you don't write it now, you're never going to write it. So I wrote this album that I wanted to write, and it was purely for self-satisfaction. I decided I wanted to get it made, made properly in a studio and hire other musicians to help me out and so on. And if it was the most expensive set of MP3s I ever owned, then and no one else ever heard it, it was fine. You know, it was just going to be cathartic. But when I was writing the music for it, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law had a star named after our daughter that we'd lost. We named her Laurie, which was my wife's maiden name. Mm-hmm. They had a star named after it. So there's the Laurie Deakes star in the Andromeda system. Oh. And we didn't know anything about it until this star chart arrived in the post with the coordinates of where this star was, which of course was really beautiful and emotional. And so I had the coordinates turned into a part of a tattoo. A long story behind the symbol is some Anglo-Saxon runes. But those numbers are the coordinates of the star.
Yeah.
And I wanted it on my, I call it like my heart on my sleeve. You know, I can see it there when I play piano every day. And so whilst this was going on in sort of later 2020, I wondered if, I sort of woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and wondered if I could, if those numbers weren't star coordinates, but they were the numbers of the steps of a scale, did it make a tune? And if it was a tune, you know, could I incorporate that in the album that I was writing at the time? I figured that out the next day, sort of 3 o'clock in the morning. I was trying to figure it out, and then figured it out the next day when I went for a run. And so there's a tune on the album, which the song's not about Laurie at all, but there's a melody that happens in the tune, which, you know, in our house is sort of known as Laurie's theme, unofficially. So every time I hear that, you know, that's really, when I record it in the studio, that was a very difficult thing to do. It's very emotional, but it's, you know, she's kind of commemorated in that music in some way. So, yeah, I mean, there's no mention of that on the album artwork or anything, but, you know, we know it's there.
Yeah.
And that was really sort of therapeutic, and, you know, having it on my arm every means that, you know, I can think of that whenever I want. So, yeah, music played a big role in that.
Yeah, sure. That's amazing. I mean, I've known a little bit about your story because you did share a little bit about it on social media, but I didn't realize, you know, the intricacies of, you know, tying it to the stars and, you know, having the coordinates and that little, you know, little theme tune that you've got there as well. That's just, yeah, it's just amazing. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, it feels like
tied it all together.
Yeah, it feels like a, you know, a very personal way to have done it. And, you know, happily, my wife's pregnant again now. We're nearly 24 weeks, so we've just kind of just got past the really sort of triggering emotional moment that the 20 weeks hurdle was when it all went wrong last time. So we've just passed that. So our anxiety levels are pretty high right now.
I can imagine.
We're everything's going okay so far, other than our nerves.
Well, yeah, I think it's a normal thing when you've been through something like that. You know, you want to be excited, but you're also kind of, you know, apprehensive of, you know, could anything go wrong? But that's exciting.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. We're 16 weeks to go.
Sure. So what does that make it then begin?
December the 29th. December the 29th.
Between Christmas and New Year.
Of course, that could go either way. So we're just sort of imagining the first roast potato on the fork and then something happening.
Well, you never know, hey?
Yeah. We've made a rod for our own back there.
Yeah, well, at least you only have to do one lot of shopping then once a year, eh?
We'll see. Yeah, we'll keep taking the days off.
Yeah, no, it is. It gives you, and at least you got each other. You know, you can then, you know, work towards that. It's exciting. Sure. But yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's an amazing story.
It's okay.
So Mark, if people want to find you, I know you mentioned you've got albums, where would they be able to get hold of, you know, any of the albums that you've created?
Yeah, well, the album that I've been talking about there isn't out yet. It will it's a long journey to get an album out. There will be some news about that in early November. And so that will come out in a few months' time. I've released other material. So my solo material, I kind of have very sort of boxed off different projects. So my solo material so far has been very sort of tranquil solo piano music. And you can find that at markdeeks.bandcamp.com. So my band Winter Filleth are very much a metal project. That's a very, very different sound. So that might not necessarily be for everyone.
But never know. Some people might enjoy that too. So yeah, I think
absolutely. So yeah, you can find Winter Filleth anywhere on the internet. My main sort of piano work is at thatpianoguy.club. Branding fail. Thatpianoguy.club is where you can find out about my piano coaching. And Sing United is my choir company. So yeah, lots of different things going on at once. But yeah, it's the all for me, not just about music. It's about the ripple effect of what that gives people in their lives. And the kind of rewarding therapeutic qualities of music. And just how music reminds us of people and places and times in our lives. And
memories,
great. It's great for that. And, you know, just listening to a song a day, but doing it mindfully. You know, I often talk about how people used to listen to music in a much more active way, and now it's people listen to music in a very passive way. You know, it's on in the background whilst 17 other things are happening.
Absolutely.
Whether you're running or studying or cooking or whatever it is. And people don't often so much these days just sit and listen to music and, you know, turn off the phone.
But I think a lot of the music nowadays, you can't even hear what they're saying, though. That's the difference.
Oh, now, come on now, Jackie. Can you even hear
like
how old? Can you even hear how old that makes you sound, Jackie? Now, come on.
I know.
You don't really believe that.
there are some songs that I think. What did they just said? Oh, okay. If you go and Google the words, but
I think that when we actively engage with music, it just does us good. And if that's only listening to one song a day, then I'd encourage people to think about music in the same way that you think about other well-being practices that we hear talked about. Hear people talk about meditation or journaling or breathing exercises or yoga or whatever it is. Think about music in the same language as that and incorporate it in the same way. You get up in the morning, you listen to a song and don't do anything else. Or the last thing you do before you go to sleep. Or if you do go down the road, then learn to play it on an instrument. And when you can play even a very rudimentary version of a tune that means something to you, that reminds you of your parents or your grandparents or your daughter or whoever it is, then that's a really powerful combination to be able to sit down an instrument and play a song that your granddad sang you when you were a child or whatever it is.
You can feel the music. The music penetrates your whole body then, and you can really just, makes you feel good as well as, physically as well as emotionally, mentally.
Exactly, because the connections are really primal. They're really, really visceral. So I encourage people to incorporate some music in their lives in any of these ways.
Yeah, and it can be, I mean, there's so many different genres of music too. You don't have to like classical music or the opera or heavy metal if you don't like it. Pick something that you enjoy and that speaks to you. And if you enjoy everything, then see what your mood dictates that day and find what you want to listen to as well.
Yeah, well, people use music to support or affect their mood as they desire. If you just because you are feeling sad, you don't have to listen to a happy piece of music to cheer you up. Listening to sad music could be cathartic. It kind of get it out of your system and then go
have
on
a good
with your
cry.
Day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We all need to do that sometimes, right? So, music can be really useful in that way.
Absolutely, yeah. Just really, like you say, taking that time to feed ourselves with whatever it is, whether it, like you say, music, meditation with music, even whatever, just to ground ourselves, because life just gets so busy. And I think that's what a lot of us are noticing now as we're coming out of, that bit of a breathing space during lockdown. Things are just speeding up again. And a lot of people have gone back to just being headless chickens that they were before. And for me, it's not where I'm wanting to be. I want to still, have kept some of the things at least that you know, you've enjoyed over lockdown.
Yeah, well, hopefully we never get a chance to learn in that way again. But, you know, we've got to take out of it what we can. And sort of, as I said before, you know, there was a lot of reevaluating going on at the start of lockdown. And I hope that not everyone's forgotten that.
Yeah, I think we all need to regularly reevaluate what we're doing and whether what we're currently doing still serves us and if we need to make some tweaks and adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, yeah. It's been lovely having you on the show to talk to
you. Thank you very much.
And
appreciate it.
I'll put all the links in the show notes and that sort of thing so people can easily link back to find you.
Fantastic. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. It's been lovely talking to you. I look forward to seeing all the news pop up on social media as you know when you release your new album and the other exciting news that comes up.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jackie. Appreciate it.
Lovely. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd love for you to please leave a 5-star rating and a review. You can also subscribe to make sure you don't miss any future episodes. You can find me on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn for more inspiration on topics around wealth and abundance. Links are in the show notes. Looking forward to having you join me on the next episode.